Alright. You know you.
It's that time again.
Y'all good?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, la hora. You know, power hour. Ponle atención. Classes and sessions. Tune in for an hour, maybe more. That's a blessing.
Are you here?
Learn from the captains and the leadership. Flee from religion, because some churches never teach them shit. Everything you learn for your benefit. Line upon line is a requisite. Never take a deficit. Yeah, that means you take a loss and you spray from the way. You get the understanding if you study every day. Apply what you learn and bless when you pray. It's one interpretation, man, to say what it say. Ya viene el tiempo, entra para el templo, aprende del maestro con talento, la Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento, no te pierdas en doctrina como viento, estudia y ora y aplica, tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita, escritura dinamita, morenos y hispanos
yes,
israelita, oye cómo explica, Israel unido en Cristo para la vida, nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour, learn your family history, don't be a coward, yeah. Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
Yeah, history, it's the power hour. The 11 hour. Tune in to your history. You know it ain't no mystery. Power hour. The 11 hour. You know where you're history. 11 hour.
Hey, Shalom, Israel, Most High in Christ, blessed. Welcome back to the Power Hour. I'm Officer Zara.
Officer Caleb.
Oh, praise to the Most High. Hey, we're supposed to be doing this. You're supposed to do in Spanish, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, my boys, they're out right now.
They're asleep. Man, I told him I read in Spanish. He didn't want it. He ain't want it. He ain't want you to come through and take all the shine.
Come
from the
on,
kingdom.
Man.
He ain't ready for all that.
All, that. All praise to the Most High, man. Hey, you wanted to go over this today?
Yeah, we had a topic. I mean, we were gonna chase the elephant in the room with Mother's Day. I mean,
right.
I mean, there's so much videos out there, so much stuff.
Hey, Officer Issachar, speak closer to the mic, sir.
I'm as close as I can get.
Okay.
I hear myself far away. I don't know if it's the mic or something like that, but I hear the same thing.
Switch those if you want to with that one in front of you.
Switch it up. Better?
Oh, yeah, it is way better.
Yeah, so Kingdom guys are doing the most in here. Yeah, but pretty much what we're going to do, chase the elephant in the room. But there's so much videos out there for people. They want to know about so-called Mother's Day coming up and whatnot, what to do. But there's a big topic because we lost a brother this week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wasn't, coming with scriptures, but he's coming with some truth.
Right.
But we're going to show you the topic today is transforming the mind from
boy to man. Yeah.
Because I think that's more importantly before a lot of things that we as a society need to grow up and wake up and see where it starts. That leadership starts in the mess.
Mm-hmm.
And the officer found a very good article that kind of like teach you some things about being a man in the world. And we're going to read it. Because we're going to look at it and we're going to see. And what's crazy about this article, it's by an idol or a leadership in our community, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Hey, you know, it's crazy, too, that you have to say that he's a leader, even though he was just a basketball player.
Yeah, but that's what we had. That's all we got.
Right. That's all we got in our community.
You know, we don't have nothing else. So when they know. And when I say they, Esau, they know that when they see us, they'll get a person that we respect, we look up to,
mm-hmm.
and they'll have anything, have them say, and we're going to believe it.
Right.
Because we already about him. If he's Michael Jordan and you put the words through that mouthpiece,
mm-hmm.
guess what? We're going to go with it.
Right.
But, I want to this started up.
Hey, wait. I want to get a scripture.
Go ahead.
Give me Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. I want to get a scripture because I want to preface this article because, you know, this is from an article from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like you said. And so, of course, you know, a lot of times when you just look up how to become a man in the Google, right, Google search, you'll find multiple, hundreds of articles, different opinions about how people, their opinion on how to become a man, right?
Right.
And we already know that knowing the scriptures, we already understand that, you know, you have to keep God's commandments to become a man. We'll
That's
get
right.
that later. And so we know that all these different opinions are nothing. They're lies, right? So read this for me.
This is the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children mm-hmm. tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine.
So we understand that in this back in the world, we always were tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Everything we hear, we always were gullible with. You know, if you say one thing about something, we'll end up believing it without any facts, right? So that's how our people are. Keep reading.
By the sleight of men.
Which means the cunningness, the craftiness of men. Read.
And cunning craftiness.
Uh-huh.
Whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Right. So when these opinions, these different articles come out, They're own people's opinions, their lies, and they're contrary to what God has stated. And you'll see that in this article, it has a bunch of bones. And there are some things in this article that are good that we can actually look at. I mean, we're gonna hit it, right?
And you know what? Screw reminder, this article is from September 12th, 2013.
Right.
So we got about 9 years ago. But you got to think about this guy, this cat right here. He's from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
He's from the 70s, but he's been an icon. You've seen him in movies. He's coming, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I remember. He's coming different movies.
He's got documentaries on HBO.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So he's been around. You know, they keep him in the stand that guess what? The people that were associated or they looked up to him are still alive and still looking for certain answers.
Right.
So they got to pop him up. Because guess what? At the end of the day, when you retire, what do you want to do? You want to go back home, chill. You don't want to be in the spotlight no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you getting Uber Eats. You ain't even trying to go get something to eat. Eat at your house, Uber groceries and all that stuff. You ain't trying to be in the spotlight no more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you'll do a little bit of autograph here and there and just whatever, but you're not out like that.
All right, let's get to the article. Let's go.
This is Esquire, 20 things boys can do to become men.
Leave it up there for a little bit. Leave it up there. Are they seeing this, right?
This is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's 20-point plan for becoming a man.
So I'm going to tell you this because guess what? This guy, I don't know him personally or anything, but I know a lot of old people. They have an old-school mentality. So he has a lot of influence on certain things that he said, certain little things that he said on there. He has a lot of influence. I'm going to point him out, but this is very important.
And when you look at the whole sentence, says 20-point plan before becoming a man. So he's pretty much letting you know that if you do these 20 things, you can become a man.
Yep.
All right.
And this is what society calls a man, because guess what? We're going to go into what the Bible calls a man.
Why should a young man listen to an old guy about the best way to become a man? Zoom in, son. Because these typical teen is not yet able to see a future past the next few months. That's not a fault of character, but the fact that teens' brains have not yet physically matured. The prefrontal cortex does not fully develop in most people until they're 24 years old. Yet, the PFC is responsible for regulating mood, attention span, impulse control, and the ability to plan ahead and understand the consequences of one's actions. In the meantime, it's up to the adults to guide them by showing them possible consequences, good and bad, of their behavior. With that in mind, here's my guide to becoming a man.
See, I can agree with that. I can agree with that because we got to look over. What do you call the men that are 19 and younger, young men, right? Oh, that's a young man, right? Hey, young man.
Juveniles, I heard that before.
Juvenile, whatever. But you young man, why becoming a man? And then a lot of us, when we're in 16, 15, we want to become a man. You get a little peach fuzz, you want to grow it. Hey, don't be touching me. Don't be touching my peach fuzz.
Right.
You know what I mean? You want to grow into that manhood. But is shoot. You got to look at the men that are older to understand what it becomes to be a man. You got to have that guidance there. And it has to be there. You know what I mean? Because if it's not in the household, it's going to be in the streets. You know?
You say don't be like Redbone, huh?
Like what?
Like Redbone. Remember, he listened to the young men. He didn't listen to the
older men. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, it's crazy, too. When I was younger, I thought once in high school, I thought, once I graduated or whatever, then I started paying bills and all that, and I care myself, that's when I become a man. That's it, right? That's the only thing I thought of. So it's kind of interesting, too, you know, how we all have our different opinions of how to become a man, man.
Hey, officer, that's what society teaches our people specifically. Like, that's the mindset that they prepare us for, whereas other nations, they have a whole different upbringing as what it is to be a man.
Yep.
Right.
They always have – other nations always have a – how would you have, almost like a graduation? They got bar mitzvahs. They got certain things to encourage you to be older, and you know what I mean, wean you off of the things of a boy and become a man.
Right.
We just kind of like you could be 34 years old still living in your mama's house, and you just a big baby pretty much if she's taking care of you.
Jody. Right. Number one, learn who you are as an individual. Finding out who you are, what you care about, what you believe in, and what you stand for is the most important and most difficult challenge of becoming a man. We're all raised with people telling us what to think, how to act, and what to say. Sometimes these people are parents, teachers, ministers, and other so-called authorities. Sometimes they are our friends and peers. Most of the time, given the choice, we seek the easiest path, the path of least resistance. We go along to get along. Sometimes that's okay. But in those instances, when you opt out for a different path, that can really define you as an individual. The important thing is you make those decisions for yourself, not out of spite against authority figures.
See, I want to emphasize on something very important. You see right there where it says, most time given a choice. No, go up a little bit. It says, and sometimes those people are parents, teachers, ministers, and so-called authorities. That point right there is very important. That falls onto the parent.
Yes, sir.
Because you allow your child to be around these so-called people.
You're right.
The teachers, if the teachers are teaching certain things in certain ways, or the ministers are teaching, the churches that you're bringing them in there, or the people that you associate with your child, you understand that because that is our future. The children are our future, so when you put that child among certain people, you know what I mean, what's going to happen? They're going to be influenced by that thing, so that's very important. But when you look at the learn who you are, another point that I want to bring out too, it says what you care about.
Mm-hmm.
What you care about. So give me... Right quick, give me.
I got something for you too.
Is it Job 8:8? I think it's Job 8:8.
Uh huh.
Where somebody's seeking out the fathers.
Book of Job, chapter 8, and verse 3. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers.
So, this is going back to when you have to be looking for who you were and where you come from. Because if all we can do is go into the school system and see us being slaves,
right?
Us going through the Jim Crows, us going through denying workers' rights, all those things. If we all, that's all we see, that's all we're gonna know. But the problem with us as people, as Black, Hispanics, and Native Americans, we don't understand that we are the people of the Bible.
That's right.
Because we, at the same time where it says ministers, we were in Christian churches learning that, guess what, everybody here was a so-called Caucasian.
That's right.
And when we see that, what happens to us? We say, we ain't shit. we literally look at ourselves, we ain't shit. Where are we at? Where are we at in the history? But when it says here, it says, I inquire, I pray thee, age, and prepare thyself to search of their fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Read number 9.
For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow.
Because we've been worn out into slavery. We've been destroyed to knowing who we are. Knowing who we are as Israelites is very important. That's right. When we start knowing, yes, we did go through slavery, but when we understand going to Deuteronomy 28 and understand why we went through those things, then you understand that, guess what? We need to get back on top of where we're supposed to be at. You know? Right. You got a scripture?
Yeah. Give me Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, right? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. You know, this is something that we quote at the end of each Sabbath, you know, all the men together, right? So go ahead and read this one.
Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
So we quote this, you know, after every Sabbath. So it should be a reminder to all of us that we make sure we be strong in the Lord, right? Making sure we have our breastplate of righteousness, right? Being strong and keeping God's commandments. Read.
Finally, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, right? Because in this, right here in this first paragraph, it says, figure out who you are and what you care about, what you believe in, right? Because guess what? What we know right here, this Bible, knowing that we are Israelites, that's what's most important to us, right? And we have to understand that. We, you know, a lot of times we like to seek the easiest path, like this first paragraph said. But guess what? We're going to have to know that we have to keep God's make sure we put the armor of God on so we can be able to go against the wiles of the devil. Read.
Verse 12. Mm-hmm. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood,
right,
but against principalities, against powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
So guess what this is telling you right here? That when we stand against the wiles of the devil, right? When we avoid spiritual wickedness, all this sin in this world, right? Guess what? We are becoming a man, right? Because that's what makes us stronger when we go through different things, right? Because we have to be proved in the fire, right? For mm-hmm. gold is tried in the fire, right? That's scripture. So guess what? That's what we have to do, go through different things in this world. We can't be choosing the easiest path. We got to take the hardest path, right, to get to where we want to go, all right?
One more thing, too, because especially here in the United States and everywhere around the world, but pretty much I know here you're associated with the hood you were born up, right, who you are. You always, I'm growing up, what set you claim or where you from, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It always associated with there. So that brings a repetition with you, or not a repetition, I mean, it becomes a
stigma.
Yeah, stigma, or what do they call it? Your image. You know what
representation.
I mean? Representation. Yeah, you repetitate something like, oh, I'm from Compton. Oh, snap, watch out for that, brother.
Mm-hmm.
He don't play. He's from Compton. You know
right.
what I mean? Ain't nothing but trouble. So give me 2 Corinthians 11 and 22, because we don't hear this from black men and women, and they don't know who they are according to the scriptures.
This is the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11 and verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I.
See, we don't go around saying that we're the seed of Abraham. We the Israelites. You understand that? We don't say those things. Give me
You keep reading, bro. You keep reading this.
Oh, go ahead. I'm asking.
Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often.
So we are what? If you're not basing your foundation on the scriptures, basing yourself on who you are in the scriptures, because guess what? There's nationalities in this Bible. Everybody comes from a nationality.
That's right.
But we're the only people that don't associate, that we want to cleave to be an American. We want to cleave to a Muslim. What happens when we go in the cabin? We ask somebody, hey, what's your nationality? Oh, I'm back. Bro, I didn't ask your denomination. I asked your nationality.
They don't even know.
They don't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can't go to a country that's called black, right? There's no such thing as a black country. You understand? Go to Romans 9. You understand that these our people in the Bible knew where they come from, exactly where they came from,
and what they had to go through as well. Yep. That's why I told you to keep reading too, because Paul had to be in his prison a lot, right?
Yep.
Dealing with many stripes. Right.
Romans chapter 9 and verse 4. Who are Israelites?
I'm sorry. Romans 11.
Oh,
I'm sorry. 11 and 1.
Okay. Romans chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, have God cast away his people?
The people of the Bible, has they gone away? Are they disappeared? And does God just love everybody? Nobody has a title anymore? Let's see what it says.
God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin.
All praise to the Most High. Because guess what? Now, because I've poured into the scriptures and seeked out my fathers, now I know that I'm from the tribe of Issachar.
That's right.
I'm an Israelite. I know that. No longer, guess what? Mexican, Aztec. Those names have been put onto me. I still associate them by them because they see that, oh, are you Hispanic? Yeah, I'm Hispanic. You know what I mean? But I know that I'm an Israelite, and I know that I got to keep these commandments.
Right.
That's the foundation that we got to have. So when you learn to yourself, that's where you know you're going to know where you're going to go and what you're going to care about. Mm-hmm. You're going to care about building your people. You're going to care about the scriptures, all these, everything that you care about. You're not going to be caring about things of the world, the ungodly things. You're not going to be chasing after women and money and the possessions of this world. You're going to be chasing after the commandments because you're going to, by doing this, you're going to put your people back on top. All right. Did you have anything on that one? Then we'll go to the next one.
No, we'll go keep going.
Number two, stand up for yourself and your beliefs. British statesman Edmund Burke once said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. That's one of my favorite quotes, because it reminds me that it's not enough to have lofty ideals and beliefs. You sometimes have to actually get off the couch and defend those beliefs. This is especially hard when you're hanging with your friends and all they express an opinion that is opposite of yours. Because you're outnumbered, it's easy for them to ridicule your opinion. Be strong. Defend your opinions and beliefs. If you think it's wrong to be racist, but someone in your group says something racist or sexist or anti-Semitic or anti-gay, then tell them that you don't agree and that you don't think they should make such statements. That's how the verbal bullies are eventually defeated. More important, you feel proud that you took a stand. Those moments you do nothing will haunt you for a long time.
This is why I say that, guess what, somebody's talking to this man's ear. Because guess what, the old school man did not think that way.
Right.
Now I'm talking about the go up. Don't go. We're not. Go back to the one. Yeah. Don't scroll down. We got to hit that hard right there. So when it said right there, if you think it is wrong to be racist, see, they always start. This is the thing is. When they're trying to put their agendas in there, they always start with race. They always start with the black man, right? That's why when they lined up in the 60s to be a man, to be counted, to vote and everything, guess who's right behind them? The women.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That the women were right behind them. Anybody that wanted to get in that same boat, they said, let's go in there too. This is our time to guess what? Once they say, well, if you're in there too, I guess we'll go ahead and accept them too.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's how it goes. And it said if you think it is to be racist, but someone in your group says something racist or sexist or anti-Semitic, we don't use anti-Semitic or anti-gay because they're pushing that agenda very hard. This is 2003. This is before that whole LGBTQ, WYNZ. Stuff started coming up.
2013, sir.
You know, yeah, it's 2013. I'm sorry. Did I say what I say?
2003.
Oh, 2013. So this is right before stuff started really getting heavy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You mean? So y'all got to understand that they're pushing this agenda, first of all, on this thing. Or they've already gotten to his mind to say all these things. Because that's not what the Bible says.
Right.
Because if I'm going to stick with to my beliefs, and I'm going to stick to the Bible already off of number one, know who I am, I'm going to no understand. Guess what? My belief says, guess what? What does it say about gay? Let's get what it says about gay. Because y'all got to understand, and guess what? When you stand for something, there's gonna come hate somewhere.
This is the book of Leviticus, chapter 20 and verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them.
This Bible is anti-gay.
Mm-hmm.
This Bible is anti-gay. And it's already been written not to do those things. But people want to put their own opinion, their own agenda, their own things. And we have to understand that. And another thing, too, like the anti-Semitic, that has become very, very big because...
You can't say that word.
You can't say it. Right. You can't be...
You can't even explain what it means.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, we have to understand that, guess what? That word comes from Shem.
Right.
Hey, officer, you can't say what it means. You can't say it, but yet children should have the ability to choose what they want to be.
Yeah.
Well, if we can't say it or we can't explain it, how can they make a logical choice?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, we as Israelites, we come from Shem. So we can't be anti that. You know what I mean? But we got to understand who've been trying to be the people of the Bible for the long time. That's what we got to find out. So, but this is something that you have to understand, that guess what? We got to first find our beliefs, because we've been taught the religion and the belief through slavery. We've been taught all these things. So now you got to really understand, if you're going to stand up for yourself, you got to find yourself first, and then that belief is going to follow right along with it.
Right.
You know? Yeah, something on that.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23.
Yeah, you got something to say. You go ahead and say it, because I just get fired up when things get thrown in there, kind of get hidden. And that's what we're doing, trying to attack certain things that just don't make sense.
Right. And of course, he had a certain opinion about certain things that, you know, that was influenced by Esau. And so let's look at the positive, like then what we can get out of this, right?
Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Yeah. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised.
1 Corinthians 15:58. So Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, right? So whenever we have a belief, like pretty much what he's saying, stand up on your belief, what you know, this Bible, right? That's what we're supposed to stand on, not waver. Don't fall off when somebody come with a different doctrine. Don't be moved by it, right? Read.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Unmovable.
Ain't about to be moved or swayed by anybody's opinion, right? Because when we bring these scriptures out, like you were saying, this Bible is anti-gay. When we go out on the streets, right? When we bring the word up, we ain't supposed to be moved by what other people say out there, right? They say that we a hate group, things like that, right? They want to end up persecuting us later on. But guess what? We have to be unmovable.
Read. Always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Right. What'd you have? You had something?
Oh, I had Psalms.
What, Psalms what?
94 and 16. Because he said you got to stand up for yourself in your beliefs. Is he got a little twisted. I want to show you something. I'll read.
No, I got it for you. I got it. Let me get there.
Okay.
7 seconds. Got it up. Psalms chapter 94, verse 16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoer?
Hold on. That's the difference right there. It's not our beliefs. It's a what?
Who will rise up for me against the evil?
Who's
going
to rise up for God? That's the beliefs we believe in, the Most High God. Come on.
Or who will stand up for me?
For who?
For me.
Against what?
Against the workers of iniquity.
Yeah, so he had it right. You got to stand up, but you got to stand up for God, not your own beliefs and what you believe.
Right.
That's vain. It doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had on
that. Hey, that's heavy right there.
Yep.
That's heavy. Right.
Let's go to the next one. I mean, we might not go through all of these. Might skip through them, not read all of them, just because there's some that, you know, got more important.
Number 3, avoid a physical fight if you can. You're probably thinking, that's easy for you to say, Kareem. You're 7-1, so nobody wants to mess with you. that wasn't always true. When I was a young boy, I was bullied, and my dad was a cop, so that made it even more embarrassing. Later in life, I took up martial arts and even trained with my good friend, Bruce Lee. That's why you can trust me when I say that fighting is almost always a mistake. There's a Chinese proverb that says, the man who throws the first punch has lost the argument. That means that when an argument turns into a fight, it's because the one starting the fight realizes he isn't smart enough to win verbally, so he resorts to violence. It's always the dumbest guy who resorts to violence.
You know what? I'm ready for this one, because a lot of times what happens is we're not fighting with the other nations and nobody else. We fight with our own people.
You're right.
We pick the how many videos? I'm telling you, when you go up on YouTube, how many videos of our people fighting on the streets?
Right.
Every
day. Every day. It's always something.
But when you fight, when you another nation, when they're fighting, it's always they joking around.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
They like joking around. They just kind of like, oh, we're fighting, and then they're not really fighting. Or like, but we go in there, we slamming our heads into the concrete.
I said we playing for keeps. That's what
they say. Playing for keeps. Give me Romans
12.
Yeah, 12. Give me Romans 12.
You want 18?
Yep.
Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
And it says, if possibly, because guess what? Sometimes you got to use some hands. You're going to have to protect your family. You're going to have to do certain things. But it's going to be in situations where you're going to use wisdom and understanding to back up. Scroll down and give me that last paragraph, because there's some people in this thing that they mentioned on there.
You want the only time?
So if you're threatening.
No, the bully doesn't think.
Where's it at?
Right there. It's second to last paragraph.
It's midway through the soul if you're threatening.
Okay.
Or you could stand up.
Okay, thank you.
Right there.
The bully doesn't just slink away. He returns with a baseball bat, or worse. You can still stand up for yourself without resorting to violence. That's what Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Cesar Chavez, the Buddha, and Jesus did.
You see how they associate everybody else's example with the most important man in the world, Christ?
Right.
That's very heavy, because guess what? All these men were doing it for what? Carnal. They were doing it for carnal. That Christ was doing it for, guess what? He was doing it for the kingdom.
Yeah, you're right.
Everything he did, guess what? He did it for the whole marble. Y'all trying to get a little recognition. Y'all trying to get a little land. Or y'all trying to get like quality of rights. But guess what? He's doing for the whole marble. Y'all ain't looking at the whole thing, what he was doing it for. You got to understand that sometimes y'all got to use wisdom, because this is a time. There's going to come a time where we're going to have to fight, but it's not now. We don't have that power.
Right.
We don't have that military power. We will not get that in this time. The Most High will get it when we're building the kingdom.
Right.
That's heavy. I had a lot of street friends when I was in Detroit, and I remember they would say this is a known thing. They're like, if I lose a fight, just know I'm coming back with something else.
Yeah.
That's just how their mindset was. They're like, if I lose, it's not going to go like you think when I come back.
They ain't
fighting no more.
They still got that hatred.
There's also a saying out there, too, just to kind of bounce off of what Officer said, with a group of street friends. My friends would be like, either this person win or we win, meaning you're going to get jumped.
Mark.
That's that attitude that we got.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's why they have the crowd right there ready to go. If you see my boy losing, we believe in, we getting them.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you really have to understand that, I guess, when you use your mind in a lot of situations, you can get yourself away. It's not a time to fight. It never ends up good for us, right? Go ahead and scroll up.
You want this one?
Yeah, just read that one a little bit.
Number 4, play a team sport. I'm for individual sports, as I mentioned. I did martial arts for many years and also yoga. Don't think it's a sport? Try it. But playing on a team teaches you how to interact with others, adjust to various personalities, work together as a team, be generous, and many other character-building traits. The cool part is that you don't have to join an organized team. You can just go down to the playground or open gym and play pickup basketball or volleyball.
So this, guess what? This is kind of a not saying you don't have to play something or ending, but the thing is, with our people, we go all out.
Put them in football. Put them
we
in want
to play football. You out there playing on Saturdays, which is the Lord's Day.
Yes, sir.
You out there playing every single day. You can't make no decision. Now, guess what? I'm the team building, the personality traits, all those things, the toughness, the physical, it's all those things are good.
Yeah, it is.
But when it becomes consumes your life, and you want to make it to the pro, you're doing everything to try to make it. Use it as even if you use it as a key, it is what it is. Because even you start playing, what happens in college? You got to work Saturday games. You can do Saturday games, right? And the football games, guess what? You make it to the playoffs, you're going to play Saturdays, right? You're going to play on certain days that fall certain times. So guess what? You're going to be put yourself in doing contracts or doing things that you're not associated with. So you got to understand that this is a custom here.
Hey, also, there's a car.
Go ahead.
Hey, let me find out Kevin Samuels was back here.
I know that. I said the same thing. He looked like Kevin Samuels right there. I said, man. But let's go up. I'm trying to get some of the key points. Number five.
Choose your friends for the right reasons. Good friends can see through a lot of. Hold on, let me read. Good friends can see you through a lot of tough parts of growing up, but bad friends can actually be the cause. Can be the cause some of those tough parts. Don't hang out with kids just to piss off your parents or try to be something that you're not. You waste a lot of your youth that way and miss out of some meaningful friendships.
Mm-hmm. Not just the point of the people that are over you, but the peers that are around you and have a certain same mindset, because you get influenced. I don't care who you around with, you're going to be influenced by the people.
Right.
Give me the one that's in the Apocrypha. It says, be with the godly man. That's it.
Strike 37:12.
Okay, I'll praise
this. I was there already.
This is the book of Sirach, chapter 37 and verse 12. But be continually with a godly man, whom thou knowest to keep the commandments of the Lord, whose mind is according to thy mind, and will sorrow with thee if thou shalt miscarry.
When I'm around a brother that's keeping the commandments, and guess what? Maybe I start slipping a little bit, he gonna put me in line.
That's right.
He gonna put me back on the right mindset and the right understanding there. But guess what? If I have a problem, let's say I have an old demon in me that I like to smoke weed, and I'm always hanging my arm, and he likes smoking weed, and he always got the stuff on him, and he start lighting one up, like, man, you want to, and then you start falling into that sin. That's what you got to understand. I guess what I can't mess with you no more, but you're gonna start smoking. If you're not going to stop, I can't mess with you. You know what I mean? Because guess what? I'm keeping the commandments. Now I'm going the right path, but you causing a stumbling back. But guess what? If you continue teaching this to them, they're going to leave. They're going to flee because they're not going to want a part of it, or they're going to change. They're like, you know what? This does sound right. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm going to do. So it says continuously be with the godly man, because you're going to what? Like, what is the scripture? Iron sharpens iron.
That's right.
So the countenance of a friend, you're going to sharpen each other and only be even better.
Hey, can you scroll? I just want to say one thing. Scroll back up? It says, but bad friends can actually be the cause of some of those tough parts. We've seen that in the movie called Friday. Remember, Smokey convinced him to smoke, and it all went bad.
Yeah.
That was the worst move he could have did. Where he was hunting him down, Big Worm, and all that. But that can happen with the bad friends.
Hey, can you give me Sirach 19 real quick.
Okay.
Sirach chapter 19, verse 12.
Sirach chapter 19 and verse 12. As an arrow that sticketh in a man's thigh, so is a word within a fool's belly.
So say, like you were saying, right? You have a friend, like whoever you acquaint yourself with, right? And then they just speak some kind of evil or have you do something wicked. it says right here, as an arrow that's sticking in a man's thigh, right? So when you have an arrow in your thigh, right, that hurts really bad to where you can't even walk, you can't move, like you shut down, right?
Right.
So that's what happened, like you just said, right? So that's what a lot of people, you know, when you deal with certain people that's evil, wicked people that doesn't have a like mind, you like a righteous mind, you're going to be, you're going to end up being put, you're going to end up hurting yourself, right? Death comes with that, right?
We didn't all have that friend, too. They'd be like, all right, man, you can go around the corner. I know your parents said you ain't got to go around the corner. You're going to be good. It's that subtle friend.
Right, like in the
scriptures with Amnon, I think that told him to rape his sister. You always got that friend around it. He's going to persuade you to do something wicked.
Yeah, it's that peer pressure. You got that peer pressure. You're going to look like a punk if you don't do it. You know what I mean? You look soft or whatever. So you're going to have to be like, prove yourself.
Mm-hmm. Hey, give me verse 4 real quick.
Sirach chapter 19, verse 4. He that is hasty to give credit is light-minded, and he that sinneth shall offend against his own soul.
You know, when we growing up, you know, you young, right? My son, he's 3, right? And so he says that if he sees a kid, right, and he says later on, after he played with that kid later on, he's like, that's my friend, right?
Right.
So it's the same thing, you know, like even like for my teens or whatever, we say that some people are friends, but we quick to tell people, say that they're our friends, but you know, that is letting you know that we're light-minded, right? Even at a young age, we are still light-minded, because when we say that to our friends, it's evil behind that. Keep reading.
Verse 5.
Read the last part of 4 again.
And he that sinneth shall offend against his own soul.
Read.
Whoso taketh pleasure in wickedness shall be condemned, but he that resisteth pleasures crown of his life.
Like you were just saying, if we resist that peer pressure, all that wickedness that your friend is bringing forth, guess what? You're going to end up being crowned. You got to resist that peer pressure. That's what we got to do, especially young men, right? You have to resist that peer pressure, seeing what the other kids do, right? You want to do it too. Nah, don't be swayed by what they're doing, right?
Hey, officer. Those of us in this truth, we know better, because that's also trimming your ways to seek love. You want to keep that homeboy from the world, or that sister from the world around you, trimming your ways just to please them.
Exactly.
Don't get crowned that way.
What you got, Austin?
No, I'm on with the next one. I'm already thinking of the next one.
All right, I'll read. Number 6, fight your fear of the unknown. We always have a tendency to hate what we don't understand, whether it comes in the form of different food, different cultures, or different ideas. There was a Yale study in which researchers examined the brains of people as they were presented with proof that an opinion they held was wrong. MRI showed that when those people immediately rejected the new evidence, their brains released an addictive chemical that made them feel good. In that way, our bodies are actually encouraging our ignorance and fear. Fight that impulse. Becoming a man means growing, learning, and understanding, not cowering under a blanket with a handful of comforting notions. You want that part too?
What's that?
By the way, don't confuse physical.
Yeah, go ahead.
By the way, don't confuse physical bravery with intellectual bravery. It's easier to jump out of a plane, hopefully with a parachute, than it is to change your mind about an opinion. Acts of physical bravado will give you an initial rush, but exploring a new culture or examining a new idea will mature you and make you the kind of person others will be interested in.
Okay, I'll pray this. I want to bring a scripture for that one, because y'all got to understand, when you got to grow out your shell. You got to learn certain things, but you also got to understand, keep the commandments in mind, and read this, 1 Corinthians 10 and 21. No, 23.
1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not.
So some things you got to understand, and guess what? When you add the spirit of the Most High and his commandments in your mind, you're going to know, like, you know what? That ain't for me. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to make a certain situation or put myself in a certain situation to cause myself to sin, or cause myself to be in a place that I'm not supposed to be at, you're going to have to use that wisdom. You know, you got to use that wisdom and the understanding that, nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. You know what I mean? Those things are very important that you got to understand yourself. So guess what? There is, you gotta step out of your shell sometimes and learn new things and put yourself in situations where you're going to feel uncomfortable, but some things are going to be important to learn because you're going to make yourself grow. Go ahead.
That's the seal with the hot iron too, especially when we try to teach them the truth, they don't want to come to it.
Yeah.
Same thing.
All right.
Sure.
Number 7, listen to advice. Whatever troubles and doubts you're facing, billions of guys before you have gone through the same thing. Your dad, you want that scripture?
What is that?
Oh, I thought you about to get a scripture.
But go ahead.
Your dad probably knows exactly how you feel most of the time, because he can remember the same pain and anxiety. Listen to people's advice doesn't always mean taking it. You have to decide which advice is right for you.
Oh, man.
But it might be a good idea to collect some quotes from those who came before you, so you can refer to them when you need to.
This guy Kareem, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Go ahead.
I'm going to get you started with one of my favorites from philosopher George Santana. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. That means that if you don't learn from the experience of others and yourself, you will end up making the same mistakes over and over. So when someone gives you advice, don't dismiss it just because they're older than you.
So he's saying a lot here. One thing that go to Proverbs 11 and 14. Because, yes, this is true. You're going to go to the elders and older people that have gone through it. You don't want to repeat that. That's why we have so much scripture. We have so much scripture that, guess what? We've already gone through it. The Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun.
That's right.
It's already happened. And guess what? It's going to happen again. And it repeats itself, right?
Mm-hmm. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety.
This is talking about the counselor, but guess what? There's also worldly counsels. But what we're talking about is the godly counsels that are around you that are going to give you the advice and prepare you. Now, guess what? We can't make decisions for you as a man sometimes. But we could tell you that, guess what, certain things, examples that have happened in the past, because certain jobs, I'm going to take this job. Okay, if you take that job, you might have to be working on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
You might have to be in there, because guess what? We're never gonna bend the rules or the laws of the Most High and say, oh, it's okay if you work because you need to do it. No, we're not gonna say that. What the Bible says, keep the Sabbath holy, and that shall not work. We're gonna tell you that all day long. You know what I mean? But the thing is, you're gonna have to have those godly people around you to get that safety net that you're going to have that there all the time.
Hey, can I get something behind what you just said? Sirach 19 and 22. Because you was talking about counselors. And you said it's bad ones too, worldly ones. Watch this.
The book of Sirach chapter 19, verse 22.
Uh-huh.
The knowledge of wickedness is not wisdom.
So if you're getting counsel and he's telling you, oh, break the drugs down, do it like this, and you're going to be, that counsel is not good for you. Go ahead.
Neither at any time.
At what time?
At any time.
Come on.
The counsel of sinners.
The counsel of who?
Sinners.
What?
Prudent.
There's no foresight in the counsel of sinners. It's not good. You're not going to get anything that's profitable for you. The older women telling the younger, oh, girl, you get them to do that? No, that ain't going to work.
Right.
That's not prudent for you.
Hey, that's heavy you said that, too, because, you know, that's how our older women are, man, especially back in the world, man.
Oh, yeah.
Teaching our young women, even the older men too, right? How to be whores and homemakers,
yes,
right? That's how we set up, man. Go ahead, Reed, finish that.
Where we at?
Go to the next one.
Hey, yeah, because we only got a few more minutes, right?
Ten
more minutes.
8, be politically aware. One clear difference between children and adults is an awareness of your community outside your circle of friends and family. The world is constantly changing. Whether it changes for the better or the worse depends on the actions of those willing to get involved. Kids who don't know anything about their world try to hide it by saying, I don't really care. It doesn't affect me. But that just confirms that they wish to remain children and have adults tell them what to do and think. Part of being a man is to be informed. So you are prepared to take an action and responsible place in your society. Read newspapers, magazines, watch the news, discuss the subject with your friends, but always while respecting each other's opinions.
So what is the scripture, the one that said be not ignorant in the small or great? You got it?
Yes, sir.
This right here, we have to understand that some of these things we're never going to control. This is not for us. Politics are not for us. And things are just not going to happen. But when we Israelites have to come against the wiles of this world and the devils of this world that are trying to control our mind, we're going to have to come with the scriptures, right? Go ahead and read.
Sirach chapter 5, verse 15. Be not ignorant of anything in a great matter or a small.
So you're going to have to go in there and put yourself learning little by little, every little thing. So you're going to have to come. That's where that wisdom and understanding comes there. Give me the next one.
Hey,
Number nine. You have some else?
No. Go ahead.
Mind your manners. Whether you're a kid being told to firmly shake hands.
Hey, let me get a scripture. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3.
Okay. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself.
So if you're a prudent man, you're going to understand that what the world is coming to you, like what's ahead of you.
Right.
You're going to be able to avoid certain things like the evil, right?
That's right. But the simple pass on and are punished.
So if you simple, you stupid, like he was saying, right? You don't want to care about what's going on in the world. Guess what? You're going to be punished, right? Death is going to come into you, all right? Go ahead, though.
Number nine, mind your manners.
We're just going to read the top part of them. Mind the manners, pretty much know what area you're at, too. You know what I mean? What setting you're at, the way you're doing stuff. There's a lot of scriptures on manner. One thing that I think about is it's a rock, and I'm probably just going to just say it just for time's sake, which is the one.
We can do a part two. You ain't got to rush it.
Now, I really want to go to the 18. You know why I want to go to 18.
Let's jump to it then.
Yeah, I want to go to 18. But pretty much, I mean, you know, you got to learn it in manners. Those are things that be taught as a child when you are the, especially in the, I think a lot of the biggest manners is when you're around, the young men are around older people in a setting of dining or just in general being around associated with them. So that's very important. Go ahead, next one.
When I hear that, I think of discretion too.
Yep.
Solomon said to everything is a season.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's a season.
You want to jump to 18?
That's a lot. Be patient in love. There's so much in this thing. So you know what I mean? Be patient in love.
Be patient in love. Most of the information boys have about girls is wrong, wrong, wrong. It's based on stereotypes, rumors, bad songs, shallow teen movies, and immature celebrities and personal tailspins. The worst thing you can do in looking to find a significant other is try to change yourself into something you're not just because you think that's what the girls are looking for. It doesn't work. The best way to get an idea of what's attractive to girls is to talk to them like a girl. Get to know her, ask her about herself, then show her you've been listening to what she says. Did she mention a book she likes? Send her an article about the book. It's low-key, non-stalkerish, and shows you care about what she talks about.
So this is the thing is, too, when you're looking at give me Sirach 6 and 7 right quick. You're going to have to prove if she's a godly sister. That's what it is. When you're asking about these things about her and other things, you can understand what her intentions are there with all these books and what she's doing and all those things, you know, when you get to prove them. That's not saying dating. That's just proving, right? Talking.
Sirach chapter 6 and verse 7. If thou wouldest get a friend, prove him first, and be not hasty to credit him.
Don't be credited just because they got good looks. Or they got curves and stuff. You got to prove them with the scriptures. Next one.
11. stay fit. It's hard for all those teenage boys with turbocharged metabolism to understand that their bodies will not always be evaporating the masses of greasy calories they consume. They can eat a pizza and a tub of ice cream, then run 3 miles. They can't imagine that that will ever change. Even when you show them photos of their lean dads as teens, they look at the pot bellies that they have miraculously appeared later. But eating somewhat healthily and maintaining an exercise regimen will not only help fight off diseases and aging, they'll also help ensure an active lifestyle for many years. In other words, the body is like a machine. It may run great when it's new, but after years of neglect, it will slow down and eventually break down. Then you're the one begging on the sofa while your pals and are playing pickup ball at the gym.
Yep. So it's little by little, you know, we that's one thing I struggle with. You got to watch you eat more veggies, more fiber. You get older, you know what I mean? You can't just put stuff in your system like you used to. Like a metabolism, it slows down, get jacked up. So you got to always be taking care of yourself. Go to the next one real quick. No, I'm going to skip that one. That was obvious. right there, get organized.
Number 13, get organized. One main difference between a boy and a man is that what boys talk about, what they want to do, and men actually do those things. Another difference is that men have less time to accomplish more. In order to do all things they want, they have to be organized. They keep a calendar. The one in your smartphone is handy. They make a to-do list, and they don't put off doing things until later. Being organized can change your life. You do more things you want to do. You finish things you need to finish, and you have more time to pursue new activities and relationships. In general, you be much more successful.
So the organization of our lives is very important, and that's a part of being a man, knowing what to do at the right time. At the right time. Go up. What time we got? I think we have to shoot to 18.
Yep.
You know, find a hero. Of course, you know what I mean? You got to find the heroes in the scriptures. Independent. Go ahead and screw it up. Being independent as a man, you're going to have to be what? Pull yourself up by the bootstrap before you guess what? You start wanting to be with the wife and have kids and stuff, because you can't take care of yourself. You can't take care of nobody else. And that's the three chiefs of life. Your remnant, your
house to cover shame,
house to cover shame, and your food, right? Mm. Go ahead, go down. Get smart. That's always building your mind up. Go ahead, go up.
16 is question authority.
Question authority.
I don't get that one.
That's pretty much the questioning. What if you're in this Bible, you're going to question. If it's not out of the Bible, you know what I mean? But go up. Give me 18, and then we're going to close with that one.
Number 18, express yourself. Go ahead. Dye your hair purple. Grow it long. Shave it off.
Hey, this is by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Wear all black. Wear all white. Wear boots. Wear leather. Wear a dress. This is time to try on new identities to see which ones fit you best.
And this is the article on how to be a man. Remember, y'all. Go ahead.
Wow, he just contradicted everything he just said. Sure, you might have to endure some taunts, but it's more important that you figure out who you are than caring what those shut-ins of the mind think. Damn. A word of caution. Avoid doing anything permanent like tattoos, because just your taste in clothes, hairstyles, music, your thoughts about pretty much everything will change. What you think is really deep and insightful today will seem shallow and immature in a few years, and you don't want something you will later think is childish permanently etched on your body.
Or in your image, too. That's the thing. I can't believe this, because if you followed rightly the number one and number two about your beliefs and who you are, and you know you're an Israelite, You're going to find out, guess what? We ain't going to be wearing no dress. That's the effeminate traits.
Hey, if you think about it worldly, too, like, you stand on who you believe or what you know that you are. You know that you are a man, and men don't wear dresses. It's simple right there.
Give me the...
Wow, he contradicted everything he brought out.
That whole thing, you trying to really find yourself, pretty much he's not setting no standard of what a man's supposed to be. But the Bible, we're going to have two more scriptures, and then we're going to have to close if y'all got something else. But give me the one about the...
what you want?
The dress.
Okay.
Men should be wearing it, and then I'm going to get...
Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment.
There's a division between a man and a woman in the scriptures. The Bible says that you're not supposed to be wearing those things. You're not been trying to do all those things. Guess what? You want to dye your hair? Guess what? There ain't no sin against it. But guess what? When you start acting like a woman because you dyed your hair, that's an effeminate trait. Okay?
For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God.
It's a disgusting thing upon the Most High's eyes. Give me how to be a man. What a man supposed to be? Because when we as men are looking for that answer, we're looking for those things. It really comes down to this right here. This is what it comes down to become a man. You can get rid of all those 10. Those are they change. I mean, they make you a little bit more pinpoint. You know what I mean, for certain things. But at the end of the day, this is what it is.
You want verse 1? Start on 1.
Yeah.
First Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man.
He's telling you to show yourself a man. See what he says.
And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself.
So that's what it is keeping the commandments. At the end of the day, keep the commandments of the Most High. That's going to guide you. And everything that you're going to have to be doing as a man, that's what it is. The 1920, that's all it was. It was one together. It said pay attention to short run. And then scroll up. The last one was
the long run.
So it's kind of saying the same thing. But at the end of the day, guess what? We're here for the long run, meaning guess what? The kingdom. This is temporary. This lifetime that we have here as a man is temporary. And we don't know where to go. We just lost a brother this week, Samuels, and he was trying to show more of a light of how to be a man.
All right.
And he says a lot of things with the scriptures, but he didn't use the scriptures. You know what I mean? So he would use a lot of things. That man was what, 40?
56.
56. You know what I mean? But he looked healthy and everything. Right. Most High took him out. You don't know what it is for. So you got to be looking at what the Most High wants you for his life. Anything else?
Yeah. We'll close it up. So, hey, all praise to y'all. Happy Sabbath, Israel. Thank you for tuning in to the Power Hour. Make sure y'all tune in this Wednesday for the Power Hour Plus with Deacon Yashua and all the other officers. Yeah. All praise to the Most High, Israel.
Like, share, subscribe, look us up. You know, write us if you in the area. Come and visit us.
All right. All praise to Israel. Shalom. Most High, Christ bless.
Shalom.
So, God bless.